And we are live. This is Dark Journalist. Oh, what a fantastic crowd we have out there in the ideas from already tonight. Of course, tonight I am joined by the lovely Olivia.
Hi, everybody.
And Olivia, the circus is in town. Uh-huh. It's the CIA UFO disclosure circus, which we're darn familiar with here on this program. But today it really was at one of its more crucial highs, and it was dancing in the aisles, showing up behind the actual whistleblowers, quote unquote, before Congress. And we're going to get into who was there and what kind of messaging that was all about. It's great to be here with you. We're going to do just a short, we'll go to about 9:30 tonight, if that sounds right, on the East Coast. And it's just to give you an update on this very interesting UFO hearing that was held in Congress, where they booted the actual people who were leading the hearings the night before. That was pretty good. And also today, we started the day off in a kind of spectacular fashion on the Alex Jones show with InfoWars. And, you know, Alex, it was interesting because he, and I find this more and more, the people who are coming from the deep state analysis understand the situation with the UFO file much better than the UFO people do, who all want to sing Kumbaya with the CIA and, you know, get in on all the career advancement, as it were. But we did a nice show on that today. And, you know, the people on our newsletter list and on Twitter got that first. So check out that segment. Interestingly enough, we decided, since we were in the middle of the end of the segment, and he was talking about the dark side of the moon, and I was talking about von Braun, and we kind of looked at each other and said, there's no way we can end things here. So I'm going to do an hour and maybe two tomorrow with Alex. We're going to go through the hearing aspect, and we're going to go through those CIA UFO details. That is going to be at noon Eastern time tomorrow. So we'll be back to InfoWars and Alex going deep there on the UFO file and really getting it, you know, in a way that the UFO researchers have abandoned all their sense and embraced the Central Intelligence Agency, but not me. I'm here hanging out as a lone outpost for you on it. But I'm going to tell you why I have that position on them. And I've studied the Central Intelligence Agency, the NRO, the Homeland Security, and continuity of government factions in government. And, you know, there's a reason why I sound the alarm when they get around the UFO file, because there's a group inside of that structure I've referred to as X-Protect, and they've done everything to keep the actual secret of the UFO file from coming out. And they want to give you their version because either they're in a pickle or because these breakaways are breaking back in and they want a large scale push behind their new technology. And so they're willing to get it along with the emergency powers that a UFO threat would give them directly through the government. It was inevitable from the foundation of the Extra-Constitutional Central Intelligence Agency in 1947, establishment of the National Security Act, and then the 49 giving all these powers to the CIA. You know, it's like, hey, you know, anything that you do, there's a statute here that says any crime that you witnessed, you don't have to report on. So, you know, we get what we ask for there. And since that's never been corrected, that would be the first thing that a transparent government would do. But there's a lot of secrecy around the UFO file that a lot of people in government don't know anything about. And then when they have people on the take who are in the op, you know, you'll find these ops coming out once in a while. The Lou Elizondo TTSA op with DeLong and all those fantastic people from the Clinton administration, you know, Podesta and all the gang, they came out and they were really, you know, coming forward and saying, we need transparency from that government. And, you know, you see that with Grush now, who is the puppet of Elizondo. And now he's saying, we need, you know, that government to give us those details. Look, these people are the government. They're not fighting the government. They just realized when they studied the data that the only way to get into that position that the public would be behind you was to say, I need something from that government. But if you were the government and you were saying, I'm coming out as the government and giving this to you, it would still leave itself open to this suspicion. and rightfully so. So they decided to say, hey, we're going to create this idea of whistleblowers. Look, whistleblowers, the term, you get people who are taking real chances and, you know, risking jail. And people like Julian Assange and others, you know, we see the terrible consequences of coming forward with this kind of information. And for this guy to just jauntily say, well, you know, this is Crush now saying there could be things that crash, could have pilots on them. And so we could find something, you know, the loosey-goosey language, no data to study, nothing. Just this guy sitting there bloviating before Congress with a bunch of weird nervous mannerisms. And this is the kind of show that they wanted. And then on the congressional side, they've been told, there's been a little birdie in their ear that like, UAP is coming. UAP is coming. And, you know, don't call it UFO, whatever you do. And the UAP thing is a whole technology wave. And these people don't care anything about the UFO file. They just want to jump on board with that wave. So they're being manipulated by these puppet masters in the background. And that's what you saw today at the hearing, which was this hearing that was originally put up as the Congressman Burchett and Congresswoman Luna. And she's from Florida and he's from Tennessee, respectively. And they seem to have this great simpatico. They were going to do it. Last minute, last night, they announced, we can't lead it because the congressional committees won't let us. And they install these hacks at the top to run through this thing. And there are all these excuses. Oh, they didn't understand how it worked. Come on. They've been in Congress. In Burchett's case, he's been in Congress plenty long time. And so they understood the rules. It's ridiculous. Or anybody could have told them while they're making idiots of themselves, right? But whatever it was, they felt that Burchett and Luna couldn't pull this off. I find that interesting, and I'm going to get into that as well. Let's get into a little bit of what actually happened there. I want to remind you that you're watching The Dark Journalist Show, and also that we have a free newsletter at darkjournalist.com. which keeps you in touch with all the incredible and up to date on all the incredible shows that we have coming up for you. Fascinating interviews, the X series coming back in September, and special reports, the works, documentaries, special events happening later this year. You're going to want to make sure you're on that newsletter list. It takes a moment just to go up there, and we'll send it to you maybe once, twice a week, and nothing heavy duty in there, but it'll let you know the fantastic, and I mean mind-blowing stuff that we have coming up for you. So stand up and be counted and make sure you have that. Before I go any further, Miss Olivia, you're up.
Charles Antella says, wonder why Burchett was dropped his chair shortly after his appearance on the War Room?
Oh, good point. Well, Bannon's War Room, you know, is an interesting place for him. Look, Bannon understands now, and I know that Bannon actually tunes into this show. And I've listened to his stuff, but Bannon understands the importance of the UFO file in the 2024 election. Look, I've put it forward on this program that the 2024 election, the core of it, the center of it, is going to have this UFO file aspect to it. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Trump need to lead with their knowledge around that. Both of them have incredible depth when it comes to that. As we found out earlier now, our friend RFK Jr. has as his co-treasurer Edward Dowd, the financial expert who came out and blew the whistle on the financial system and was really working on some interesting things. He's another one of these guys that I've really taken a look at. And is that your volume? Try it now, Miss Olivia.
How am I sounding, guys?
Yeah. You're okay. Back on now. I see you on the board. All right. That was one audio test short. And the explanation for that is really quite simple. When I was doing the interview earlier with Alex, I had the dials all twisted around. So thank you for your patience. All right. Now, Beck, do you want to start off and say your question again?
Well, I think you already answered it.
Go ahead. No, go ahead and say
okay,
it.
Okay. I deleted it.
Okay. It's the Bannon question. Mm-hmm. And basically, the idea was Burchett had just spoken to on the Bannon show. So that's interesting. And I think it does give us some indication there. But my point was that Bannon, being so deep in the Trump system, he understands that the UFO file is going to be crucial to the 2024 election. He's trying to get, I believe, Trump more on board with talking about this. It's a sensitive subject, but it's already, the cat's already out of the bag. Hit and hit hard with the UFO file knowledge on the Trump side and on the RFK Jr. side and the Biden, you know, community, the committee that's running Biden in the middle will just be smashed by the two pieces coming in from the north and from the south there. And just, you know, that's the kind of action that you're going to need in this election, because the country cannot afford to have the Biden administration in there destroying rights and privileges in the Constitution. That'll be the end of the day. So lead with that UFO file, because it's going to be there. They're already pulling their own false disclosure version. Come through with the real thing and upstage them, and you'll see some real heads roll. And that'll get us out of this 60-year shadow of the assassination of President Kennedy, which the 60th anniversary coming up November 22nd on that, and some of the meaningful news that's been coming out in relation to this is quite fascinating, actually, because it got released. A few documents got released before Biden said, you know what, we're not going to give you any more documents, even though it's the law, which was announced in 1992 originally, that they had to give them up by 2017. And they've been delaying and delaying. And finally, Biden said, no, I'm not giving any more CIA records. Well, before that happened, a record got out, and it was all about this individual who was reading Lee Harvey Oswald's mail, and he was a CIA agent. He was also someone who was involved in a large UFO encounter a few years previous to that in Russia, of all places. So all kinds of interesting pieces around that, but the Central Intelligence Agency directly involved with the assassination of President Kennedy, and in the historical record, the whole idea is, you know, Oswald was just a wanderer who wandered into this book depository and the president went by and he took a gun out. He was lucky. all that nonsense is gone. As we know, the building itself was owned by a cousin of Admiral Byrd, an oil man named D.H. Byrd, who actually raised tremendous amounts for LBJ's Senate launch. And he was also the lead investor in an aerospace company called LTV. And this is very interesting, because that company, before President Kennedy's assassination, was sitting there, just had no action going on. It was an experimental aerospace company, and he had invested $3 million. By 1965, after the assassination, the same investment was worth, back then, $55 million. What does that mean? Like $500 million, something like that. And you know, the incredible turnaround of this LTV, Lemko Vought company, and how they made all the helicopters for Vietnam and everything else. There's a gigantic crisscross. So the minute that Oswald is walking into that Texas School Book Depository, he is in fact walking into a hall of mirrors of aerospace, experimental aerospace. And whenever you get deep around the Kennedy assassination, that's what you see. And there's a reason. There's a darn good reason for it, and you actually saw it on display today in Congress, because these whistleblowers who were coming forward and supposedly giving, you know, these deep UFO truths, and, you know, I'll say Grush in particular, I want to point out, because Fravor and Graves just pretty much said what they always said as Navy pilots. Grush is the intel puppet in the middle. He's the one that they need to get things across with, and he was the one who kept putting himself and saying, I know this and I know that, but I actually can't tell you in a public session. So we'll do it in a skiff. And by the way, I don't know it personally, but people have told me things. So it's like the weakest possible link in the chain. And yet he gets, you know, he says the most extraordinary things, right? So this is the nature of the Intel, COINTEL, Pro, counterintelligence dance. And we know it well. We've seen it play out with the likes of Elizondo and Chris Mellon, who is directly behind Grush. Now, speaking of behind Grush, I'm going to show you some very interesting pictures from today, and then we're going to see what kind of a hearing that really was and who was actually behind it as a trial balloon. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. This is a special on the UFO disclosure hearings that took place in Congress today, but this is CIA disclosure, and let's remember the definition. This is the one run by the Intel companies, and the Intel is really, you know, those communities now are interlocking in such a way that they're almost becoming impossible to spot from each other. So they're so integrated across CIA, DIA, NRO, Homeland Security, that we're just getting this blend of this thing, you know. And in the case of Homeland Security, as I've pointed out, a quarter of a million employees, 250,000 people. This agency didn't even exist before 9/11. So think of the nature and the structure of the government in relation to this. And you start to get an idea for the fix that we're in, but that we can get out of as long as we're using the right playbook. So let's look at some of the things from today and some of the people behind Grush, shall we? I want to make a little note here, which is there's a sensational statement by a colonel that he put on record that he saw dead alien bodies, and also that he knew about crash retrievals, and also that he was willing to tell all that to Congress and everything else. Oh, you think I'm talking about Grush? No. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about Philip Corso, and that was 1997. We're talking 26 years ago. And there's a funny little aside in there, which is Strom Thurmond, who knew Corso very well and knew he was in all those positions in government, going right up the line in some of the most secret projects in government, actually did the intro for his book originally. And then he found out it was about aliens. And there's that whole story that came out, Senator Regrets Role in Book on Aliens. And Strom Thurmond said, pull those copies. But the first 1,000 copies had that very interesting intro in it. A new book contending that the nation's military and industrial power largely derived from a crashed alien spaceship is being disparaged by Senator Strom Thurmond, chairman of the Senate Armed Forces Committee, who wrote the book's foreword. A new book contending that the nation's military and industrial power largely derived from a crashed alien spaceship. This is interesting because this is exactly what we see playing out here with Grush. But in the case of Corso, he put it on the record. And what happened to him? He got sued by everyone and their grandmother. But because he died shortly after putting out these revelations, a lot of those suits never came to fruition. The author, Philip J. Corso, retired from the Army in 1963. Says the book might be dismissed as others in the genre have been, except for the author's military background, his claimed role, and Senator Thurmond's praise of the author in the foreword. Mr. Corso contends that while at the Pentagon, he personally spearheaded an Army project that secretly planted the alien technologies throughout the economy and military, mainly to build up American strength to fight an inevitable war against alien invaders. Look, when they put forward Grush and they, you know, in all of these, you know, ABC News and everything else, and News Nation, which is completely complicit in this false push for false CIA disclosure. And I'm going to get into their backgrounds a little bit as well. It's very enlightening, in fact. But interestingly enough, they will say this is the first time a high intelligence official has ever come out. Sorry, ring the bell. There's been about 20, 30, 40 different guys who've come out and said this, put things on the record. And Corso was a colonel, so he actually outranks you. So much for that. But anyway, let's go with the fantasy aspect here. Now, here are the five most memorable moments from Congress UFO hearing. That's NBC and wonderful Grush, who's, you know, he says, well, I guess it was just the Boy Scout in me. I couldn't let these terrible things go on without standing up to fight it, you know. Interestingly enough, right behind him, and I'll read some of the things that he had to say. He didn't really say much that wasn't already out there, that he didn't put out there in his interviews, which were pretty flat. And again, have that kind of meter of intelligence. So for example, they say, well, you know, like when he was getting interviewed and they said, well, you know, did you know about dead aliens? You know, and he said, well, you know, sometimes when things crash, there are pilots. And, oh, what kind of things? What do you mean by pilots? Do you mean human pilots or alien pilots? Is that what you're talking about? So there's never any clarification of anything. And that allows them to operate in this space. And then nobody on the UFO side questions any of the data. There's no data to study, in fact. So what you get is just this thing. And now the media going along with it because they're being instructed by the intelligence community. The reasons they're being instructed are interesting. And what I put forward on this program is that it is to build a UFO threat program, which I've demonstrated through the hundreds of articles and statements of all these people. And what the secret aspect is, the same aspect that controls the UFO file controls the continuity of government program. And the continuity of government program has never had any oversight from any congressional committee or anything. They basically exist in their own twilight, siphoning off money for the covert government from the overt government that sits on top. That's the real schizophrenic situation in government, as nobody even knows where that money goes. So one of the things that came up today was Burchett saying that the Pentagon had failed their audit for 5 years in a row. Well, what do you do in a case like that? What you do is you get the defense contractors together with the Pentagon and you say, here's a prosecuting agency. If you lie or don't give them the correct record, you're going to be prosecuted. But they never do anything like that. So it lets you know that that's one huge circle, because at the end of the year, they all sign on to the National Defense Authorization Act. That's $1 trillion on the record that all of the defense budget gets. God knows what's off the record. And every Democrat and every Republican signs off on that. And right in the middle of it, they have the president sign on to the September 11th emergency, which grants continuity of government powers in there. So as long as you have that as a piece of the government, you're always going to have this emergency structure, which can build massive underground bases, control UFO bases, and keep it all off the books and drain it completely out of the Pentagon. Because the Pentagon doesn't have to give you any accountability anymore. So there's no record keeping. So just do whatever you want. You know, if you're building a missile, you know, then just build the government for 10 and it's over, right? There's no accountability. That's the nature of the problem. But let's keep going with their fantasy. Okay, so there's a few familiar faces, and I did say who's behind Grush. And remember, Grush is a major. He had worked at the National Reconnaissance Office. And, you know, this is the interesting thing. The NRO is one of the most secret branches of government ever. As a matter of fact, the public didn't know it existed until 25 years after it was created. So you can imagine that there are departments in the government that we don't know anything about. So, for example, the whole thing about UFO, UAP, and changing the language, etc., maybe to conceal a trail of this thing of an office that already exists. You know, we know about ARRO, which is the so-called UFO Defense Office, UFO DOE. And what you'll see are the people who originally were inspired to set that up. You know, they got Rubio and Gillibrand to attach it to this National Defense Authorization Act. But then they started to criticize it and say, oh, it doesn't go far enough. And so Mellon and people like that could be like, that darn ARRO, they're against us. And then they could have Kirkpatrick and Rubio be like, we can only confirm this and that and this and that. So they created their own dynamic. ARRO is phony and Mellon and Grush are phony. They're both false dynamics, and they get to play off in public against each other. And there's no fight between ARRO and, you know, the Grush whistleblower people. They're all in the same intel game, and they created their own thing to rail against so they could say, we're getting the info, we'll get it out of that ARRO government. All these people are the government. This is just a government chess game. We need to all get on board when we're looking at the situation that way. Why the UFO field collapsed, and we'll see that Knapp was there today cheering on Grush and, you know, promoting that whole thing. Look, Knapp and Corbell, who have financial interests as well as intel interests and all this stuff, they've been promoting these types. They promoted Elizondo, and they have an interest in doing it. You know, Knapp took out stock shares in TTSA before they failed and went down for $50 million in Intel money. So, you know, this is a different thing. You know, we're not looking at normal journalism. We're not looking at normal political action. We're looking at a weird rigged Intel game and the players that they've been able to push out there. So I never like to drag on any particular researchers. There's a lot of people in the UFO field who have dropped the ball on this because, you know, they've been so sidelined for anything meaningful by the same intelligence agencies putting up a wall of secrecy for their whole careers, so that they were marginalized the whole time. So that by the time the Central Intelligence Agency was like, hey, you know, the top search in the United States in 2016 was UFOs. Let's use that now. This is the time to use it. And these people were like, hey, you know, CIA wants to give us disclosure, and they wrapped their arms around them. That's the way that it went. And I was, you know, I had a front row seat to all that stuff. And I saw people who were normal, hardcore, deep researchers previously flip out and just go and be like, if you challenge the CIA person, you're challenging disclosure, and, you know, you'll be made to look foolish. And I mean, real crazy stuff. This is what happened. So that whole field collapsed. It's pretty much disintegrated. What you have are these kind of stooge structures. So it is just a kind of a vassal state for Intel playthings. Now, the next aspect that takes place here and how I can demonstrate this is, for example, sitting next to and sitting behind Grush is a very interesting figure here who is circled. And let's see if I can pick him out here. Yeah. That's our friend James Clapper.
We think.
No, that
there's
that
some controversy, right?
No, it turns out that he was there.
Okay.
But yeah, that's true. That at first there was a lot of people being like, is that or isn't it? But no, that's Clapper, all right. And there's some other very interesting intel people in there as well. So what we have here is Grush, and that's Corbell, you know, the circus show with Lazar and all that stuff. And Knapp, who used to do very solid reports, but threw in with this whole CIA thing. Not sure the background on that, but, you know, Robert Bigelow has been pretty involved in a lot of these things. And that's Ryan Graves, the pilot, giving testimony. Fravor gave his testimony. And in the middle was the Circus of Lies piece, was all Grush. So, but interestingly enough, now let's backtrack in our minds for a moment and think about James Clapper. So, and there's going to be other intel people that we're going to point out to you as well. Just you wait. But let's take a little walk down memory lane. What do you think of memory lane music? That's a little bit memories. Dems, Rip Clapper. He needs to stop making excuses for lying to the American people. Now, in the Obama administration, James Clapper was the DNI. He had the same position that Avril Haines had. He's the top cop of the intel community. And what he did was he put in place a program for tracking individuals in their phone calls, which was completely illegal. Now, they asked him before Congress, on the record, did you do this? And he said no. He lied to Congress. Became well known. And so now, after the fact, years later, the Democrats still call him out, even though he's one of their own guys. And that's Clapper. He's known as the big liar. And he lied before Congress. He lied to the American people about his surveillance program. He's a liar. And he was Obama's liar. And so that made it okay. Remember that it was Elizondo, maybe in one of his famous lies, where he said, I was personal assistant to James Clapper. Well, that would be interesting if it's true. Now that we see Clapper front row at the Grush hearing, then maybe Elizondo was involved with Clapper after all. All right. Now, ask yourself, what is the top cop who's now disgraced as a liar, who's been thrown out of government, what does he have to do with a UFO disclosure? Why is James Clapper the highest representative of the intelligence community there, like Avril Haines, you know, had been hosting these UAP days and saying, you know, could be that some of those things that are harassing our ships out there are aliens, and, you know, they're harassing the Navy ships. These are top intelligence people right on board with the UFO threat program. As a matter of fact, her former boss, John Brennan, suddenly he was like, we need to get to the bottom of that UFO file. This guy, the Drone King, and Brennan, with his many crimes and his absolute fanaticism for getting Trump out of office or calling the 25th Amendment on him, scared to death somehow that Trump was going to take the reins of that UFO file. So we had a lot going on there with Brennan, and then James Woolsey, the other CIA director under Clinton, he comes out and he says, My friend's plane was stopped at 30,000 feet by some non-human intelligence. And this is the new buzz that they use. They always have to have a new term, UAP, NHI, whatever it is. But it's still the same old scene. And what they want to do is they want to create a new language around their version of the breakaway, breaking back in. And so they want to come in with all this technology without explaining, you know, where they stole the money from to make it one, where it comes from. They want to keep the secret to themselves. They want to profit from it. And they like the hierarchy that they've developed in this kind of schizophrenic system. That's the nature of the problem that we find ourselves facing when we're dealing with this directly. And it was on display at the UFO circus. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is CIA UFO disclosure hearings, a special report for you. As I mentioned, we started the day on Alex Jones InfoWars show, and we did a very interesting report there. And Alex definitely, from a deep state perspective, he understands exactly what's going on with this, interestingly enough, and not enough people who are looking from the UFO side are using that deep state lens on things. You know, if you could kind of crisscross sort of the Peter Dale Scott vision with like a Stanton Friedman thing, you get the right picture going. But unfortunately, the UFO people are all thrown in with this. And now we can see that they're being controlled by a bunch of intel people. And, you know, as I've put on the record before, Jim Semivan, really top. I mean, that guy's in the top echelon of the CIA, period. And he's been running around, running all these things from TTSA. And then you have, you know, people like Ramirez and all the rest of it. And for they've tried different things out. You know, you have to give them credit. They've tried Oumuamua was an alien spaceship. They tried John Ramirez is being abducted by aliens, even though he's a CIA agent. And so is Jim Semivan. You know, they've tried the UFO threat thing through Lou. They've tried it through Mellon. Now they have Grush, and Grush is repeating stuff, as I showed you, that comes from the 80s and 90s. I mean, he might as well be reading directly out of a script of the X-Files from the 1990s. And this is the interesting thing. A lot of those things that were reported were true, but interesting, this is a weird kink that the CIA has. They love to take something that, you know, let's say they destroyed, you know, they destroyed people's career or whatever, and then they will reenact the whole thing with them as the heroes. It's very weird. They did it. They're doing it still in with the assassination of Bobby Kennedy. And, you know, Bobby Kennedy's assassination, what they try to do after the Kennedys try to stop them from assassinating Castro in the 60s and starting a war with Cuba, what they were able to do is turn the historical record and get all these people into this idea that, oh, no, you know, the Kennedys were behind assassinating Castro and they killed Marilyn Monroe, too. You know, just pure junk. And that's how the CIA works. So it's like a sick thing that I've noticed, and you can track that weird thing that they do. Well, here's a new version of them doing that, because they took the people in the past, like James McDonald, Morris Jessup, and all those people who were sidelined, careers were ruined, or were actually killed by X-Protect. And then they'll now use the same points that they developed. You know, they'll be like, oh, we found a crash retrieval. You know, there's been a crash retrieval program and we're exposing it. So you have to be very, very careful when you deal with the government on this matter in particular. And that's where things get very, very dicey. Clapper being at that hearing today is the clearest possible signal that this is a CIA operation run to create an alien threat, and that they're putting this forward hoping that they can get the edge for saying, well, you know, Grush is giving you this thing. They have this program. There are these aliens out there, and we're going to get to the bottom of it and make that government give you the truth. So they can control both sides of the aisle. They control the aisle that's asking for the truth, and they get to control the aisle that is supposedly giving things out from the government. It's a very sophisticated maneuver, but it is all intel circus trash. So then we realize, well, how do you get to the truth around anything with these people? Well, the first thing is, you know, we've defanged, even with the ideas from and our outpost here and the way that it spread, we have defanged different types of ops that they have tried, because sometimes when those ops can't get off the ground, or they don't have enough organic support, or something like a strange signal comes in from a show like ours and just, you know, kind of ask the right questions, well, then they run into problems. They run into a lot of problems. And I think in this case that the push that they're on, that the kind of trajectory that they're on is particularly dangerous. And we saw that with the setup early this year of the balloon nonsense. And then the, hey, we're shooting down these alien pilots, you know, over Alaska and things like that. And, you know, Justin Trudeau saying, we have shot down this dangerous craft and we'll show you the footage. And then later being like, oh, there's no footage to show, it disappeared. you know, and if you dig into that, it's funny too, because it's actually General Van Herk from NORAD who made a call to Trudeau and said, make a statement because we're coming in there, you know. And so he came forward with a statement saying he was shooting something down. You know, and I think as Castro's son, he has the right to say that. Wouldn't you agree, Miss Lee? Mm-hmm. So Clapper and the audience, even the Dems, as I pointed out, the Democrats themselves know that he's a disgraced intelligence official. So why is he sitting right there? And by the way, you know, I hate to point this out, but he's sitting right next to a Knapp. And that's pretty disturbing. But also having this kind of circus thing with Grush there and then the two marketing people, Knapp and Corbell, that's also very, very bad optics. So this whole thing right away had circus vibes. When they pulled the two people who were leading it, that was also another circus move. So Burchett and Luna got sidelined after they created the whole thing. So too much weirdness to count. In the lead up to it, News Nation, which has been very strangely behind Grush and this whole wave, and they were somebody who were in dead last place after spending all this money on a cable news network. And then they put all of this stuff behind this UFO threat piece to kind of rehabilitate themselves. They're very interesting and strange company. I'm going to reveal some hardcore details about them going forward. But what I want to point out for this is that when we look at Grush and we look at the things that were, you know, I'm going to put aside Graves and Fravor because I think that they are just, you know, doing their duty, reporting what they saw. I want to point this out about Graves, Ryan Graves, who's the Navy pilot, came forward originally with TTSA and, you know, Leslie Kane was leading him around on a leash during the last UFO hearings. And Kane, again, you know, we have to put it on the record. Kane is coming forward into all of these things. She was the one who brought Grush out, you know, the false Grush push that they're doing. It's going to unravel. But the Elizondo thing, that whole piece about him being a troubled whistleblower who left the government to lead freedom and all this stuff, I came forward at that time, contrary to their New York Times article, and said he didn't leave the government. He still works for the government. And the whole program is a CIA program. It takes 5 years for the traditional media to unravel that. We can't wait 5 years with this, that's for sure. But Kane, again, shows up in the middle of all these disinformation operations. It's strange. And the fact that her uncle was the governor of New Jersey who headed up the 9/11 commission shows that signature of politics in the middle of this. Somehow she got herself involved in the politics and of portraying this, which means she could be, you know, somebody that they're parroting these intel lines to, and she's going along with it. I thought this was, you know, kind of interesting when we think about the hearings that Luna and Burchett, Tennessee and Florida, as I mentioned, but Burchett for a while, walking around like Mr. Conspiracy. So I pointed out a couple of days ago that he was talking about reptilians or something, you know, like, so there's a little bit of like a conspiracy hoaxer, supposed to be the funny guy thing. But you know, he's serious that there might be UFOs, you know? And so he's taking Grush seriously. And he's like, has anyone been hurt in this endeavor? Again, you know, a lot of odd things to track there. And so what I would say to Burchett is if you're serious, ask these people serious questions. And so, you know, don't give themselves answers that lend themselves to kind of clickbait. You know, ask some real questions. Ask, has anyone in the Central Intelligence Agency asked you to come forward to do this as part of creating a UFO threat program? That's a good question. I'd love to hear that asked. Okay, Luna over here. Now, it's very interesting. Luna has a husband in special forces. She had a very early career in the Air Force, as it turns out. And then she became, I pointed out, a Wonder Woman influencer. And, you know, she looked like she had a career as a model going on Instagram and everything else. Then she switched out and went directly into this hardcore career as a congresswoman and is a big, big Trump supporter. And, you know, she's called out some very good things and really put some good things on the record. Here's what's interesting about Luna. Luna, when she was running for office, she was the target of a program by a Raytheon employee who was running against her. And he was talking to other campaign people, and they recorded him saying that he was hiring a hitman to remove her from the race. I kid you not. And I did a show a few weeks ago on this and put the details in there. And he fled. He went to the Philippines. And then he shows, you know, he goes under the radar and she takes over. She wins that election. And in his strange comments, he starts going off about how he knows all these Masons and that in this Mason network, he's going to take care of all this very strange thing. No shade on Masons. It's just part of the record of the things he put on the record. Now, here's what's interesting. This guy got caught in the Philippines and they finally have him back here in the United States. But it could very well be that early on, Luna was going to be somebody who they knew was going to be placed in a position on these intel committees around the time that the UFO push was going to be there. And they didn't want her in that spot for some reason or other. And that's where all that weird story comes from. So both Burchett and Luna had kind of an unusual, thing in the lead up to them taking over this committee. And then at the last minute, the night before, they were yanked from those committees. That's very, very strange. So we need to watch that. You watch that, and then you watch Clapper sitting there in the background. Now, there's more intel people to talk about. Are you ready?
Let's hear it.
Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show deep, deep tonight in the CIA UFO disclosure hearings. We're going to take some of your questions here coming up here in about the next 10 minutes or so, and then we'll wind down this report at about 9:30. And like I said, as a reminder, I'm doing a show tomorrow at noon time Eastern with Alex Jones on InfoWars, going over the whole hearing structure and the planning for the UFO threat piece. Keep that in mind. What do you got out there?
Three comments. Northern Light says they didn't say anything today that we didn't know eons ago. Barbara Joy says everything really meaningful will happen in a secure setting.
Right.
And Amy Thomas says sanitized for your protection.
Well, that's really true. This is the interesting thing. Every time something came up that sounded important, Grush was under pressure and he would say, I'll tell you in a skiff, you know, which is a secure setting, right? And then over and over again, they would ask the question and then anticipate that he was going to say skiff. So they started saying it themselves. And they were like, well, what about, you know, crash retrieval programs? Or do you have to tell that to us in the skiff? And he would be like, skiff? You know, so why don't we just call him Comrade Skiff from now on and get it over with? A few things to kind of keep us in the right headspace about this. One of them is this other intel official who was hanging out. This is interesting. Charles McCullough. And he was in this picture with the other arrow. Hold on, I put it aside too early. Why don't you give me something?
Okay, I did want to say this one. Space Ghost says, why don't they just bring in the UFO medal, put it on a table, pics of the bodies, they've all got them at home. Seriously.
People in the ideas room really get it. Yeah, that's true.
Why hold back at this point, right?
Yeah, that's the interesting thing there. So in the background here is another interesting individual. He of the blue tie there. Let's see. That's him. let's read a little bit about him and what's going on there. So this is interesting. Charles McCullough III was confirmed by the U.S. Senate as the first Inspector General of the Intelligence Community, ICIG, November 7th, 2011. Mr. McCullough was most recently the Deputy Inspector General at the Office of Director of National Intelligence, ODNI. Prior to coming to ODNI, McCullough served as a member of the Defense Intelligence Senior Executive Service, 8 years Assistant Inspector General for investigating the National Security Agency. So it's a gigantic spook here. Now, here's what's interesting. The complaint that Grush made, which supposedly has all these whistleblower pieces to it, went to the person who succeeded McCullough at the intelligence community as the inspector general. So that complaint went to him. And then this inspector general, previous to the current one, became the lawyer for Grush. So now Grush has this spook lawyer who apparently, after all this came out, was like, oh, I'm not handling Grush anymore. Or the law firm came forward and said that. So got a lot of weird spook activity directly behind them sitting there. So you have the spook activity represented, and then you have the marketing activity represented with Corbell and all that. So this is what we're looking at. The spook activity behind the both of them is just off the charts. And the idea that these spooks inside the intelligence community would ever want to give the American people any answers about anything is one of the biggest jokes that you can possibly imagine. So we're looking at this disclosure service, this disclosure parade, a little bit differently once you're starting to feel that out. But here's what's interesting. Not only are we seeing them there, they know that we're going to see them there. And they know that the people out there in the audience, like me, are going to see that. So it is an indication that this whole operation is protected. Don't you worry, you know, Uncle Clapper is there. interestingly enough, Mr. McCullough came to the Treasury Department after a 10-year career in the FBI. So he went FBI, Treasury Department, deep, deep intel, and then he became Inspector General of the entire intelligence community. That's pretty hard hitting. And one last thing I wanted to point out in relation to Clapper was, this is a June 2013 incident where a leak of documents detailed the NSA practice of collecting telephone metadata on millions of American telephone calls. There's no explanation for why they were doing this. Clapper was accused of perjury for telling a congressional committee hearing that the NSA does not collect any type of data on millions of Americans earlier that year. One senator asked for his resignation. In November 2016, Clapper resigned as Director of National Intelligence at the effective end of Obama's term, but Obama kept him in there and kept that umbrella of support over him, even though he was caught lying by Congress about tapping people's phones, millions of them. So this is the nature of who's sitting behind there in this UFO trap. Keep that in mind as we go along. And as I've said before, when we get to why the trap, why the threat, and all the rest of it, everything the government tells you about the UFO file is suspect. There's no question about it, because they have so much to hide, because they have a legacy over 80 years of keeping that information from the public. So the amount of crimes, the amount of development, the amount of money, all the rest of it, is nothing that the public has ever seen. So now they're trying to pretend that they are their own cops and can clean up their own mess. We know better. And so this idea, you know, that whole back and forth between Arrow and Mellon and that whole shebang, and, you know, Mellon saying that, oh, that's Sean Kirkpatrick, you know, at Arrow, he's a tough customer and he should be giving us more satellite data. This is the dichotomy. This is the setup that they wanted. Those are the dynamics. What you want actually is a civilian agency dealing with this. Don't you notice that they downplay civilian UFO sightings now? Isn't this extraordinary? All you hear about are these weird, false military ones, Tic Tac, all this stuff. and a lot of it junk that's been on YouTube since 2007. That whole push around the civilian side is gone. They don't want to talk. They want to talk to witnesses who are, you know, intelligence people and all this kind of stuff. They don't have any interest in a common person who's seen a UFO, has UFO footage, has UFO pictures, whatever it happens to be. They're not interested in that because their whole program relies on the fact of an authoritarian, this is a whole authoritarian model. That's what they're looking at. So if they don't have the model in place, the information that they put out, they don't want the information out there. They want the authoritarian model to tell you exactly how the information works. Okay, so now a statement after all this by Susan Goff over at the Pentagon. And she says, to date, ARRO, which is All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, which I call UFO-DO, the UFO Defense Office, has not discovered any verifiable information to substantiate claims that any programs regarding the possession of reverse-engineered extraterrestrial materials have existed in the past or exist currently. There's the setup. So they're the ones who are saying it doesn't exist. Grush and all of his CIA people are like, let's get it out of that government, when they are all the government. So either way, they're happy, because with whatever story that they've created out of this, for example, if they wanted to create the idea that, oh, we did find an alien, and, you know, we've learned that the DNA and the strands and all the rest of it mean that the human origin story has changed, or that we found this reverse craft and, you know, all these types of things, that means that there's a UFO threat coming. We figured that out. So all these different pieces and the way that they want to program that story rely on the factor that you have one unit that they've set up that says, oh no, you know, we're aware of UAP, but there's nothing beyond that. And there's another unit that's supposed to be, just like Lou was, the person who comes out and says, I need that government to give me the answers, when they're just all part of the same op. This is a key realization and was on display today with Clapper and with this Inspector General of the intelligence community sitting in open, in plain sight, directly behind Grush the whistleblower. Now, those people have invested a lot in the development of Grush. They don't want to lose him, because when he came out with News Nation, it kind of fumbled around and there were a lot of people not buying it. And they also didn't buy his evasive answers and the fact that he said, well, I didn't actually see anything. Other people told me stuff. you know, that doesn't get you anywhere. There's no data to study. He's just dancing around. And the only people who like that stuff are people who aren't paying attention, people who want clicks, or UFO community people who don't have any dignity anymore in the research that they do and just want the CIA to give them disclosure, because, God damn it, they need disclosure from the government. This is the nature of that whole dynamic, and we saw that massively on display. What's interesting is the confusion on the congressional level of some of the people who aren't in the op. And they don't know what role that they're playing, and they're trying to figure this out. The people to watch are the people in Congress who are getting super behind this UFO push, who have no background whatsoever in UFO anything. It's not like, oh, I ran a UFO magazine for 20 years and now I'm running for Congress. That would make more sense. I look for those people. There's no one like that in Congress. Instead, you get these people who suddenly discovered religion in the last 2 years, and the religion is, oh, I need to get to the truth about UFOs. Ruben Gallego in Phoenix, in Arizona, running for Senate. And he's a congressman. Out of nowhere, he just starts going for this, you know. Mike Gallagher, the congressman from Wisconsin. Oh, you know, UFOs are time travelers. We have to get to the bottom of this. Where do these people get their background in UFOs? Where, like, at what point did they realize that they wanted to study this? Why are they talking about this stuff? Representative Andre Carson, he goes on and he talks to News Nation, and he says what? He's sitting there and he says, we could be dealing with interdimensionals. Well, Grush brought up interdimensionals today. They like that one. So, you know, they want to play all sides of this fence. You know, they're also like, well, there could be an undersea threat, you know, and they'll take all the real things, you know, like the story of Atlantis, for example, which we're doing real research now, bringing that story to light. they'll take that and they'll be like, ah, you know, we'll use that as part of the op. You know, and we'll say, well, maybe there's an undersea civilization that eluded us if people won't buy aliens, and we're fighting them. So, we'll get the emergency powers through that. They literally are throwing them all up in the air, you know, so they're throwing all the signs up in the air and see exactly what's going to hit. Interestingly enough, it's getting to a point where the average person is looking at this stuff and being like, this sounds crazy. What are these people doing? And it's very interesting because the people who understand and have that background in the UFO file, and so many of us in the ideas room do, and have been watching the development of this, including the abduction phenomena, you know, the whole thing about Blue Book, all, you know, it's a family intergenerational understanding of the subject. There may not be any one consensus about exactly what we're talking about here, but certainly, you know, there's the idea for a long time, oh, aliens are abducting people. And there was a whole alien wave of abductions that seems to have stopped, right? And that's curious too. So we get ourselves into very interesting territory to try to figure out what's their next move, moving this into a government level where they're playing the part of the concerned citizen trying to get action out of the government, when in fact we know very well that these are people who are government people. And they don't have the background in the UFO file. There's no reason for somebody like Gallagher to be standing on chairs and waving a flag about UFOs. Somebody in the back room told him, get on board with this stuff. Senator Gillibrand, Senator Rubio, they got in the back room with him and said, you got to get with this because, you know, it's coming in. That's weird too, you know, so that leads you to the question, what on earth are they planning? That's the thing we should take out of the UFO circus today. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is CIA UFO disclosure hearings, a special report. We're going to go to about 15 minutes here. So we'll go to your questions now. Miss Olivia, okay. You're up.
Dr. Who 534, the same intelligence community that is keeping the lid on the Biden family corruption is certainly not going to expose the truth on UFOs.
Yeah.
1,021 gigawatts. Please ask DJ his thoughts on the UFO hearing being the same day as Hunter Biden's court hearing. Yes. And Max Lupo says, is this distraction from the Hunter Biden plea deal thrown out by the judge today?
That was interesting. Everyone, and I cite the legal scholar Jonathan Turley, Andrew Napolitano, everyone thought this ridiculous idea that you could let Hunter Biden skate by saying, oh, I did a misdemeanor and I'll do community service for a week for all these bizarre crimes that he's been committing was the way to kind of, you know, keep the Biden administration safe. And it's interesting because they've been doubling down on the Jack Smith, I'm going to arrest Trump, and all of these things that they're planning to do. And Trump not only being ahead by 30, 40 points on the Republican side, but beating Biden and any Democrat challenger very handily at this point in the polls. If you pull a guy like that out and put him on trial and all the rest of it, it's such election interference that it, you know, it makes anything else look ridiculous. And we become an instant banana republic. So that's the corruption on the government side. If we look at the things that the government has kept as secrets and needed to be forced, I mean, look at the secrecy around, you know, Pfizer and the COVID op and all this stuff. These people are not interested in the truth. I don't know where this ever came up. You know, what's so fascinating to me is what was appealing to me about the independent research community in all of its different facets is they understood that the government would hide these things, whether it was, you know, ancient aliens or whether it was assassinations or whatever. The government wasn't interested in giving you any of that. This new invention of a, the whole kind of Corbell freak show thing where they love the government, you know, and they love CIA disclosure. We can't wait to get those CIA people to tell us. And they use the whole, we're going to make that government tell us while praising the intelligence people who are the government. It's like a totally bizarre schizophrenic situation. So with clarity, what we can say is the government never voluntarily gives up that type of information or power. And they're not going to do it in this case either. Now, if they have a motivation, like a UFO threat to seize emergency powers because they realize the candidates and the people that they have can't maintain the type of ruling majorities, then that is different because they'll use their own versions of these things to get them out there, and they'll use our own belief systems against us. That's the kind of weirdness that we are witnessing here. That's why you have Andre Carson sitting there going, could be interdimensionals, you know. The Kennedy case stands out there as that shadow against the backdrop of the American deep state, you know. And in that Kennedy case, we find very simply that these same institutions covered up the assassination of President Kennedy by his own intelligence community. They haven't come forward with any of those answers. They've said, we're not even going to give you those records anymore. Forget it. So they're not going to give you anything meaningful on any of this other stuff. That's a show. And as a matter of fact, what's interesting is that Chuck Schumer said, well, I'm doing my own hearings. That paragon of virtue, Chuck Schumer, who said to Trump early in his administration, look, if you don't play ball with the CIA, you're going to be out of here, boy. And he said that publicly. That's great. Good old Chuck. It's interesting, though, that he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to set it up just like the JFK Records Act. Well, that's so great because the government doesn't give you any of those records. So it's a bizarre situation. Now, let's forget about them and their weirdness for a moment and just think about the mystery itself and some of the more legitimate cases that are on the record. These people have experienced other beings with advanced craft, and it looks like the advanced craft are directly related to what we think are aliens, right? Betty Hill's drawing of the leader, right? The drawing that Aleister Crowley made of Lamb, conjured being, large head. That's 1920. I mean, it took another 27 years for the UFO wave to hit, and it took another 40 years for the Hills to identify what the aliens look like. So there's something in this system of understanding, of human understanding, about this phenomena that goes beyond just nuts and bolts aliens, and it's not exclusively a supernatural phenomena because it has that physical impact. There's some quality that rests in the middle of this, and so we've pointed out that the groups that protect this employ something I call an astral agency to protect it at times. That's a thin sliver of the cases, but most unusual things happen when those people show up. That's an aspect which can be explored completely independently of the government and everything else. We can use government documents, but just to find out about the programs that they had. But it doesn't require, you know, oh, I need the government to give me disclosure. And I read this pathetic thing. I won't identify the Twitter user who put it out there, but they had a substantial amount of followers. And they said, every day I wake up and I think about disclosure and how we need disclosure and all this. I'm like, you know, look at yourself in the mirror. You know, I mean, what are you doing around for your community and your life? Like, what are you talking about? You know, and the idea of getting to the bottom of deep mysteries, being a part of somebody's life and part of their obsession, whatever else, I'm 100% behind because I've been in that camp myself. But, you know, come on, let's get real here. You know, what are you actually talking about? What do you even know about any of these things, really? You have to go deep, and you don't wake up and like, I want disclosure. No, you're going to have to sacrifice something. You know, you're going to have to sacrifice time, effort, knowledge to learn about these things. And, you know, there's a lot of weird activity around this. And it's almost like, you know, they want the next release of the Apple product, or, you know, they want the next video game. So it's a weird thing that they're trying to build into this. That has nothing to do with the subject matter. It has nothing to do with learning about these things at all. It's a weird public thing. That's what UFO Twitter and all that freak show is about.
It reminds me of the William Shatner SNL thing about, you know, move out of your parents' basement. Like, don't you want a girlfriend? Don't you want a life? Ready for another question?
I'll never forget the guy, and it's a sad story, who was working for free for Corey Good, who got in touch with me. And he told me the nature of his life living with his parents and, you know, that his car had 350,000 miles on it or something like that. But it didn't matter because he was fighting for disclosure. And I was like, well, look, you know, I think you can fight for these things without making your own life a shambles with somebody's, you know, weird fantasy. But this is an interesting thing because it gets down to balance, you know, and discovery and balance are very important. You need to have a certain kind of intuition, insight into a thing in order to get to a level of understanding it. And it requires tuning in, as it were. So, you know, it's not some kind of it's not going to make any difference to your own development as a human being unless you're engaged with it in a process like that. Otherwise, it's just, you know, you're better off not knowing, frankly. So, you know, I think this is an important thing not to let that settle in. And when I see these types of things around that, that reminds me of entrainment addiction, you know. And I remember when they had these cases of people using the game Candy Crush, and they had all these people addicted to doing Candy Crush. And there were far more games that had this. But, you know, there's a weird addictive quality that comes from using screens and using video games. And we see it in the worst cases with pornography and things of this nature. So, you know, you get all of this types of study. And then the people who study the UFO file who want to roll it out will intentionally roll out this dysfunctional behavior and pretend that it's normal. And so, you know, I think when you're on a track of trying to find out about these mysteries of life, it's very, very important to have a kind of balance in yourself to start with, or else you're better off not doing it. I really believe that. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Don Devine. Hey, DJ, longtime fan from Canada. Do you think this Tic-Tac Foo Fighters is ancient technology, alien technology, interstellar, interdimensional, or breakaway?
Well, see, the Foo Fighters are some of the most interesting because it's before any of the UFO waves. It's before any of the ideas were injected into the problem. It was technically a war problem because they were seeing these things, although the Foo Fighters didn't interfere. But what they did and what they could do, if you listen to those pilots' descriptions, is they would follow them in formation and do everything that they did. And they were kind of studying them. So there's some phenomena there immediately that you're tracking and dealing with. And, you know, I remember, and I go back to the story about Lindbergh talking about when he crossed the Atlantic, there were all these voices that broke out in his plane at a certain point. You could say he was hallucinating, but I don't think so. And they were astral voices that were talking about, you know, the different excitement that they had for him crossing the Atlantic. And then when you get into any kind of occult sphere, they always talk about the spirits of the air. So there's some factor there that is part of kind of human evolution for us understanding, just like the whole idea of elementals or life after death or telepathy. You know, there's some factor that's just a little bit beyond where we are now. And but there's no question about it. And, you know, people who I've heard this before about UFOs or demons or something. Look at the Foo Fighters. I mean, those were just lights that were following planes. What were they? Those aren't demons. So what are they? You know, and I think that demonic energies and that type of stuff can masquerade as anything, can masquerade as an alien or anything for sure. But I don't know, you know, I would never ascribe any kind of demonic anything to something that was a craft flying around, you know. So it's very interesting. And there's a whole orb, consciousness orb thing, like in the story of Thomas Townsend Brown, for example, when the orb that's over the pond where he's at this very elite prep school, which is the same one that Donald Trump went to years later. And this orb, he's standing there with his horse and the orb comes at him full force and it knocks him down. And he sees his entire life to come in front of him. And he also sees the technology that he's supposed to develop. That is something that goes outside of our time and space. It's a kind of intelligence. And it's a kind of presence that shows up over and over again in the record of humanity. And I don't think we have a good name for it. But nonetheless, there is something extra immediately going on there. And you know, when you get into certain places, Arizona in particular is one of them. You hear about it in the Pacific Northwest. They're just spooky by nature. It's like there's portals at every turn in certain places. Just like the Hot Zone, you know, we have some exciting shows in the Hot Zone coming up for you in the fall. And the Hot Zone is one of the most unexplored, unexplained mysteries of all. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty fascinating. I hope that goes somewhere to answering your question. Yes.
John McKeever, how long have we had a secret space force?
Probably from the very beginning. So I would say since the late 1940s, I think that the space impulse was developed through the early aero clubs. So that brings us into the 19th century, into the early 20th century. They had inklings about going to outer space. Did somebody reach the moon before our moon program? You know, it's funny because I ask very interesting researchers like Farrell and Bosley and others this question, and they tend to believe that yes, that the Apollo mission, because of the high stakes nature of it, wouldn't have been done publicly in case it failed for the first time. They would have to have done it already. And I definitely believe that that's true. Now, I also believe that in ancient Atlantis, they had an advanced program of flying. And I get that directly from the mystery school records of Rudolf Steiner's Anthroposophy and all the Casey work. Gurdjieff supports that as well. And whenever they get around that, you can see if you get past a certain period of humanity, all the advancement is there. In Casey's outline of that history of Atlantis, you've got ships that can go through things. That's pure apotheum. They can go through mountains, not just over them or above them. You know, they go in the water, they go through things. And then at a certain point, they're like, you know, how advanced, you know, like, what was this program all about with the Atlantean airships? And he said the Atlanteans could go anywhere in the universe. And he said instantaneously. So there's some aspect of the psychic Atlanteans using the technology and teleporting themselves. This is the aspect that's been rediscovered, like so many things, when we get into these secret programs. And they observed the idea that the only way you could take this redeveloped, crashed UFO retrieval material and operate it was through some sort of psychic means. There was some psychic interface that had to do with the pilot who was running it. And that's what they try to develop. And that's why von Braun had Russell Targ develop an ESP machine to test the NASA astronauts. He wanted to test to that next level. I'm sure there's a very important story from the early 70s of this documentary filmmaker, and he was working for the Nixon administration because the Nixon administration wanted to put out a UFO documentary, and they were ready to come out with a lot of disclosure as a way of utilizing Pine Gap and the alternative energies they were developing, because they were in a real big Arab oil hell in 1973. And this is part of what made them get rid of Nixon, by the way. But in any case, as he was going through the Pentagon, he had carte blanche. And Nixon had said, let this guy see a whole bunch of stuff. And one of the things that he saw were these soldiers. Now, this is 1973, and they're sitting there with electrodes in their heads and huge screens in front of them. And they are visualizing things on that screen directly from their minds. That's the level of the technology that they had then. That's, what, 50 years ago? How far advanced are they with that? When we have these conversations about, oh, what can AI do, you know? I mean, what happens literally when the social media app starts reading your mind? X everything. Hey, you know what, X everything? I can read your mind. Well, that's probably something we don't want it to do, frankly. That's the Aramonic piece. So you can see there's a larger worldview to take in on these things. So when they separate it down and they're like, oh, we have scary aliens and, you know, we have crash retrieval bodies and things like that, has nothing. It's a very, it's the most base level of looking at the nature of the problem. Another interesting story that comes out of the Aztec UFO crash story by the work of Scott Ramsey and his wife is that I found this absolutely fascinating. The craft that crashed in Aztec, New Mexico in early 1948 was largely intact. But when they had the scientists go in, they'd have them go in with a medical team. And they realized that the people who were working to observe things or take metal samples, whatever it happened to be, could only be in there for 15 minutes. Now, that's an apotheum style thing as well, but it has a direct correlation to health. And apotheum can work like that also as a reality distortion field. That's why we have things like UFO lands, nothing ever grows there again. You know, that's why time slips, time gets missing. And, you know, people are like, well, I saw a UFO and then 6 hours later, you know, you lose time and you lose all these different things because the interaction with the other reality, you know, the UFO file has a number of these examples of reality just changing and shifting. Now, the X technology acts exactly the same way. This is the stuff that Tesla had tripped into as well. It relies on the magnetic currents of the Earth. It can distort all kinds of things. When you hear about things and the mysteries of like the Bermuda Triangle or whatever, again, you're getting things that do not correlate to traditional models of reality physics. So that's the whole apotheum piece, which we've outlined in this program, and we'll go a lot deeper on. But I think that gives us some examples. There was an example of a case where, you know, these military people came out years later and they said, well, we came across this small craft. We went inside and it was this gigantic thing as big as a football field. That's like Alice in Wonderland. So, you know, you're dealing here with almost like a consciousness field. It has to be the major consideration when dealing around these things. And you can't just take them on a, hey, I developed a motor level. everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is a Dark Journalist special report, CIA UFO disclosure hearings. We'll take a couple more questions and then we'll wrap it up. I just wanted to make sure we got on board with all the things that were going on today. As usual, I have lots more to get to, but I'm sure that we will in upcoming reports as well. Miss Olivia.
Okay, I got to get to this one. Rehoboth Farm, is the space fence to keep them out or keep us in?
Well, that's a really good point. Alana Freeland has tracked this the best, and we need to get her back on the show. She did an incredible geoengineering book, and all of her books, I think, are, again, they're so ahead of their time that we're catching up to what she's talking about. And I remember her telling me, I think it was 2016, that the object of what they were doing was to make us all walking towers in their electromagnetic grid. And more, as I read things now, it's like everything that she said is like the headlines that I'm reading today in the science manuals. So it's quite interesting. But yeah, I would say the space fence is designed as a grid to control things on the ground. And at a certain point, you're going to have it as a construct to basically, you know, it makes Earth a gigantic imprisoned environment. And when you have all these things, you know, like the Elon Musk Starlink and all the rest of it, these things are outside of normal. You know, a lot of this stuff shouldn't be getting through and being approved on the level that it's at. But it's because he's in so tight with the military that you're getting that kind of carte blanche for somebody like that. So, no, there should be much greater oversight with people on that level. And they should explain directly how we have not gone back to the moon in 50 years. We need to unravel the entire classified space program aspect because, you know, the excuse is that like, oh, these other nations will find out our secrets. Look, you've kept too many things from the public too long. And the nature of the situation is that you know all this stuff and you have your own science and you have your own breakaway. And, you know, in the meantime, you know, we're winding down an oil economy dynamic, and you're trying to ration, you know, all of our energy and all this other stuff. That's not going to work. You know, this isn't medieval times, and we've already gone through the American Revolution. And, you know, so there has to be the nature of this. Once that awareness clicks in the public, it'll be much more difficult for them to, you know, launch this whole digital biometric prison camp piece that we see them putting the fixtures in place for very tightly. And they got a tremendous dry run through the COVID op. But in my opinion, the UFO threat operation is so far beyond anything that they did with lockdowns. And that's why I think the more spotlight that we have on that, the better. Yes.
David Allen, excuse me, is DJ saying that the three witnesses today are all in on this big operation to control us?
They don't have to be, you know, I mean, Grush has been groomed. There's no question, by the intelligence companies. He's been groomed by Lou. Lou's on the record about that. Chris Mellon is also someone in the background. These are the people who pushed the UFO threat, the initial version, and didn't make it. They're coming back. You know, I'm sure they'll be back around to do the books and documentaries and all that stuff on those. But the two pilots, Fravor and Graves, they're just reporting the things that they saw. I saw a Tic Tac. You know, look, if Lockheed Martin has a Tic Tac and you're doing a training exercise, they insert the Tic Tac in there, then you have a story about a UFO that they can use. So you don't even have to have seen a genuine UFO. You could see the very best technology that Lockheed Martin has, or they've seen a genuine UFO. That's fine. In the case of Graves, I think he should take an ethics pledge. I actually tweeted this today. He must love me. But I invited him because he lives close by here. Look, you can come by here and you can come right in and I'll talk to you. We'll have a gentleman's debate about it. So, and this is the thing that all those people, you know, run for the hills, because I'm going to ask them real questions. That's the problem. But Graves is interesting because he's a defense contractor. So if he wins contracts about UAPs or UAP defense or whatever it is, just like Skyfort with Lou, and the fact that Lou has a charity with Nolan and stuff, those are very, you know, suspicious things because... But just straight up on an ethics level, it's a conflict of interest. If you go out and say all this stuff about, oh, I saw UFOs and all the rest of it, and then you're a defense contractor, so the government comes to you and pays you because of your expertise around this thing that you're talking about, that's different than saying, I had an experience, I wrote a book and made $1 million. Who cares? Everyone does that every day. That's good. That's just the way it rolls. But if you are taking something that you claim to be an experience and making it an expertise, then you're going before Congress and building yourself up. You're basically making Congress a huge advertisement for your defense contractor services. So it has to be brought to bear with someone like Graves, for example. So he should take a pledge to do that and just move on, right? So no, those pilots, I think, are telling what they saw. And we've had Navy pilots tell those stories since the 1940s. You know, there was a UFO that came. I mean, the Maury Island case. you know, the whole thing revolves around this idea of the oceans because the Navy is one of the number one reporters of UFO incidents. So, but Grush is different, and you could tell in the QA with Grush, the grandstanding that he did was different. They would ask Fravor or somebody, you know, do you know about dead aliens and things like that? And Grush, when he got questions like that, he would be like, I'm aware, you know, and I can tell you in a skiff. Or he would say, I was told this and this and this. And there was no question that he didn't like on this level. But those guys were like, no, you know, I don't have knowledge of that, whatever. And so some people might say, well, Grush just had a higher level of clearance or whatever. Well, it's mysterious with Grush because the problem is that he was at all these UFO conferences the year before, seen being groomed by Corbell and Knapp, and they're sitting behind him. And remember, they're a huge marketing op behind this. And then if you have Clapper there, then what you're putting together, just put those pieces together. You've got intelligence people at the highest level, by the way, proven liars like Clapper, not traditional regular intelligence people, but really like the cream of the crop of the liars. Counterintelligence people like Elizondo, Semi Van and all those people, very good trained liars. That's their job, remember. And then you have the Inspector General of the intelligence community sitting behind Crush. It's not a good look. What it says is we're intel puppets who are protected under this system, and the congressional people are getting those signals back and forth. So I would look at that situation today with those three people as Grush lying his face off and the other two telling their normal story, which doesn't have the impact because it could easily be, you know, Lockheed Martin running the Tic Tac. And with that, Miss Olivia, I think we're done with our special report.
Okay, actually, this is the best question to end on.
Yes.
Bear Isle, I have a question. If we cannot trust official government sources, who do we need to hear from that can be trusted by the masses to basically bring open, proven, reliable disclosure?
Civilian groups working with the subject who are able to submit their own research. And independent committees of ordinary citizens and journalists, and who have their own compelling information and testimony and can compel that government to come forward with their information because the word's out there and there's nothing to hide because the independent groups have already got it. They're trying to close down the access of the independent groups. And you'll see this over and over again. This is UFO Inc. Remember when they show the one thing, you know, here's the UFO. It's the Tic Tac and the whole thing. No, there's tons of very good video, photo, and all the rest of it from ordinary civilians. Why isn't that stuff being broadcast by News Nation? Why isn't that stuff being broadcast? You know, they've been trying to incorporate the UFO file. And what they want to do is make it get it to a point where you can't talk about it because it's a national security issue. That's where they want to take it because they want their narrative. They don't want you to know the real thing. Since when is the government going to give you the truth on these things? They won't. The government has to be compelled to give you the truth. And we need leaders who will support that transparency, like RFK Jr., like Trump. These are the people who are interested in that, particularly RFK Jr. In the Biden administration, you know, they're just interested in giving, you know, more money to tempt the nuclear exchange with Russia. They're locked into the World Economic Forum. It's just a done deal. And he's run by committee. He doesn't even know where he is. He said 100 people died during COVID yesterday. I mean, so he's a walking comedy show, but it's not funny in the grand scheme of things. So we need to move into a much better paradigm. We have the people to do it. And if we have Kennedy as the Democratic nominee and Trump on the other side, you've got lots of grassroots in both of those movements. And I think we've yet to see exactly what Bobby can do. Don't underestimate Camelot. There's a lot of fire with that smoke. And I'm going to close out with somebody who also brought all this stuff to our attention and paid a big cost for it. And he told us all about the UFO file. And this Oppenheimer movie is out. You know, this guy was a colleague of Oppenheimer's and he was on his same level, but he's discarded by history, interestingly enough. And that is Robert Sarbacher, who I've pointed out on this program doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. Well, couple of things about him, and I, you know, he's been in the midst of this X research since the early episodes, but he was Dr. Robert Irving Sarbacher of the Washington Institute of Technology, oceanographic and physical scientist. He died in 1986, but before he died, and he died kind of under strange circumstances, but Bill Steinman, who was big on this Aztec UFO case, realizing that it had been marginalized, got a hold of him and said, what about your work and what you said in 1950 that the UFO file was charted above the top secret of the atom bomb? And, you know, where do you think of those comments now? And what about the whole program? And he said, I don't mind talking with you about that. We had UFOs, we had the bodies, and as I recall, they were insect-like, and we try to figure out how they were able to sustain the incredible turns and G-force and all the things that would happen, and we were studying them. And we try to redevelop the craft. And, you know, Vannevar Bush was in charge of the UFO file for 20 years. And then, you know, there's this whole lineage of people who took over. He put it all on the record. Not an MJ-12 document, not some secret thing. You know, the burnt memo, you have to guess, well, maybe it's a real memo, maybe not. This guy, in an interview, put it on the record. And he put it on the record three times in the 80s. There's a weird story there that... he called up his son and said that, you know, one morning he came out to his car and there was all this jelly on his car door handle. And he went to the hospital and then he died there of a heart attack. So we don't know if Sar Barker was bumped off by X-Protect, but it sure sounds like it because, you know, Steinman got him in trouble by getting the truth out of him, which Steinman was good at doing. But he put it really on the record. And whenever we get around this thing about, you know, oh, Grush, this intel guy has put it on the record that there are crashed alien bodies and all this stuff. You know, Sar Barker's on the record with many researchers, including Stan Friedman. He was the highest ranking scientist along with Oppenheimer, physicist. He was a student of Albert Einstein. And he said, yeah, I worked on the UFO file. As a matter of fact, his best friend was Thomas Townsend Brown. And they would disappear together for 1 month out of the year and work on this stuff, you know? So there's a lot there when we think about it. A lot of these people have lived and died and put these things on the record. The idea of this person coming in because the intel people are propping up a UFO threat and then being like, this is the first time, you know, it's just call it out because it's BS. And if you see it, call it out. Yes. What do you got?
Oh, no, there was nothing.
Okay. Miss Olivia,
Yeah. So I know that you've mentioned Sar Barker in many shows. Is there one show where people could get more of an overview?
Tesla, Trump, and the Time Capsule. Okay. That's a real good place to go.
If you were to present in front of Congress, is this what you would talk about?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I'd keep them there for a long time, as you can imagine. A couple of quick things that... Sar Barker put on the record. Quote, relating to my own experience regarding recovered flying saucers, I was involved with people. I have no knowledge regarding the dates of the recoveries. Regarding verification that persons of the list who were involved, I can only say this. John von Neumann was definitely involved. And Dr. Vannevar Bush was definitely involved. Oppenheimer was involved. Oppenheimer led the UFO file. He's one of those people who took over. And it may have been another piece because we know of the trouble that Oppenheimer got into. But when we think about Oppenheimer, we're looking at this movie and stuff, think about Sar Barker because Sar Barker put this on the record. And he says, quote, at the end of his letter, this is him signing off for history. I still do not know why the high order of classification has been given and why the denial of the existence of these devices. I am sorry it has taken me so long to reply, but I suggest you get in touch with others who may have been more directly involved with the program. He doesn't understand why they kept it secret by the time they got to the 80s, meaning that whatever they had discovered about it, other countries were already aware of. That's a very interesting thing for us to contemplate. But also that this was all put on the record in the 1980s. 40 years later, there's a Johnny Come Lately, and he's being propped up by the likes of Clapper and others. We can see through that, and that's what's so crucial. And with that, Miss Olivia, we're going to wrap up this special report. You have a super chat.
I do. Okay. Occult Fan, PJ Doe, Catherine Rorden, Ramblin' Lamb, Polaris 23, Little Bird, Rosterman the Seer, Bob Bindert, Noah M, Slow Time, Don Devine, wait a minute, 72, Daniel Dandignac, Terry Doherty, Global Atlantis, I'm Not Dead Yet, Diana C., Anthony Tormina, Vlad the Sanctions Impaler, Eurythmia is Fun, and Rudy Steiner. Thank you so much for your generous super chats.
Fantastic. We really appreciate your support, and it makes all the difference. And to all our subscribers, really fantastic to have you behind us on this. We will be covering this story, of course. Like I said, tomorrow I'll be on InfoWars at noon Eastern time going over this with Alex, who I think is doing a great job of getting in there and ferreting out the details of the government operation on this. And we have some exciting part two interviews coming up for you this weekend as well. So great things to look forward to. And just you wait for the fall. Amazing things. And with that, I'll do a couple of shout outs to our ideas room there tonight. Doyle Wayne, I get Cliff's emails. Okay. That's Cliff High, I bet he's talking about. Corky Goss, Kitty Cat, Meow. Excellent. Trident Vibes. Thank you. God bless you also. Fantastic. Majestic 12 is a coven. Wow, that's pretty interesting. I would see that that's very likely true. TJ, which show has the Ireland UFO encounters? There's a few, but look for the Tuatha Dé Danann shows. That's the really kind of hardcore, but it goes back a couple of years. There's a new one that we'll have for you in the fall as well. I know Kate's out there. It's great to see you. Lonnie Zamora. Gary has that one. Very interesting case from New Mexico. Policeman runs across some very unusual aliens who are taking a break. Let's see what else we got. Red Cap Goblin. Good night. Sleep well. Nicely said. Judy Hanks. DJ will tell us more in the skiff. Exactly. You know it. Don't worry about it. The skiff. We'll have Grush in the skiff. We'll slap him around a little and get some answers out of him. Well, you know, sometimes you might say that the sun comes up in the morning and then goes down at night. Oh, my God. It's incredible testimony. Did you hear that? Not only that, but sometimes there are clouds that obscure the sun, and we call that two-dimensional clouds. Oh, gee, thanks. You know, that was really most of that hearing today. Grays are made. Now, see, now you're getting into it. Absolutely. Al-Qaeda, Olivia Wings girl, we could tell Congress they will get overtime 2.5. Exactly. Fantastic. I know Gigi Young was out there. It's great to see you. And we're going to have Gigi for an interview shortly. I'm going to ask her about that for next week.
What's up for Friday?
Alchemy by Angela. I already said we have the part two interviews coming out.
Okay. Are they coming up Friday night?
Yes, Friday. Okay. and probably Saturday also. Just great stuff there. And Miss Olivia, you saw some of that hearing stuff today. What did you think?
I couldn't bear much of it, so I just 5 minutes.
Exactly. Wow. Nicely done. Great job tonight. Yeah. And thank you for coming on short notice with the whole hearing and everything else. Everyone, we will see you all on Friday with some interviews. And no, we'll see you tomorrow with the Alex Jones Show at noon and Eastern time. And have a
90 minutes, right?
Yeah, I think it's an hour or two. I think it might get into 2 hours, but we're gonna go through some interesting things. We talked about it, and Alex has a lot of very good story. He understands the UFO aspect quite well, actually. And in conversation, he has his own very dynamic language about it, and experiences, not UFO experiences, but things that he's heard and talked to in his own career there with InfoWars. So we're going to get into that as well. And it says end broadcast after all, but you know, it never really ends. So thanks so much, everyone, for being here. And let's see if there's anyone else out there. Can't wait. Debbie McAdoo. There you go. Absolutely. Thanks so much. And you know, it says end broadcast, but
never really ends.
Excellent. And you know, never let it be forgot that once there was Camelot. And if Bobby Kennedy is anything like he appears, we might have it again. So this could be a very magical time. Have a great night, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
God bless.
Noon.